This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
The Lord Jesus bless you. I want to talk to you this afternoon on the topic, "The Lord is my strength." The Lord is my strength. And I'd like to begin by mentioning to you a story of a man that I know of. This is a man who was raised in very troublesome times and in a very godless home. In this home, there was all kinds of ungodly behavior, such behavior as is not encountered in most situations, most family lives. The father, for instance, of this family was a very, very godless man, very wicked man. He himself had been raised in the church, if you will. He had heard some truths, but he chose to turn away from those truths as difficulties in life began to pour into his situation. He had seen war and as a result was very opposed to the idea of God, and he began to erect idols in the home, and he became very, very abusive, with particular regard to his children, if you will, abusing them to the point of sacrificing them to the idols that he had raised up, to the things that he had allowed into his life. And one of his children somehow made it through, I imagine because of the influence of a very godly mother. And at a certain stage in his life, he decided that he was going to serve the Lord. I think he was about 25 when he began to be able to make some decisions on his own, and some of the idols that he had encountered growing up, he decided to destroy. Some of the images that he had seen, he decided he would no longer engage this thing or that thing, and he was going along really well. He was beginning to even save, by the grace of God, some of the members of his family. Some of the members of his family hadn't been to church in years. They hadn't experienced the things of God in years, and he would go even into their homes and sometimes go into places where he might not have ordinarily been welcome, and he would find some of his family members and he would talk to them about Jesus, and they would be drawn, and they would come and they would enjoy the sacrifice of God. They would get to know this glorious sacrifice, and life was going really well for him. And for about 6 to 9 years, somewhere thereabouts, he was seeing some wonderful changes. But at about the 9th year, he saw something that really distressed his heart. His older brother was attacked, if you will, spiritually, and just consumed by the enemy, just drawn into a horrible way of life. And he tried to hold on, his older brother, for a while, but eventually the enemy proved too powerful for him. And so this man that I'm speaking to you of, saw what happened to his older brother, and it just rocked him for a while. It attacked his faith for a certain amount of time. And he went on a few more years, you know, serving the Lord and serving him in such a way that anybody who would have seen him would have commended him and said, this is a very, very godly man. But after a certain amount of time, the same thing that took his brother down, that same enemy, that same set of circumstances came knocking on his door in a way that he would never have expected it. And it was so devastating to him that he began to capitulate to it to some degree. For instance, he began to take the level of intimacy that he had with God, and he began to forfeit that because he thought that it might in some way appease his enemy. He thought that if he wasn't quite as on fire for the Lord, then maybe the attack of the world wouldn't be so heavy in his situation. And he also took his stability and his consistency with God, and he began to, as it were, offer that as well to the enemy. He probably thought to himself, maybe I'm being too much of a holier than thou, and maybe I'm being too stringent, maybe I'm being too serious, maybe I ought to calm down a little bit, and if I do, then maybe the enemy won't attack at the same rate. And he thought that he had worked it all out, but unfortunately, the enemy was not willing to be appeased. And the enemy lied to him, in essence, and said, well, if you give me a certain tribute, if you take, for instance, you know, of your substance, of your gold, of your silver, and you hand it over to me, then I'll let you alone. And so, according to the scripture, we're actually in the second book of Kings at around the 18th chapter. And we're talking about a man whose name is the Lord is my strength. We're talking about King Hezekiah. And we're talking about how Sennacherib comes into the land of Judah, having already consumed the northern country of Israel. And we're talking about how Sennacherib comes to him and says, you need to pay me a tribute, and if you pay me a tribute, I'll leave you alone. So he took the gold that was on the doors of the house of God, which is representative of the capacity to go into the house of the Lord. It speaks of his intimacy with God. And he took the gold that was on the pillars of the house, which speaks about a certain amount of establishment and a certain amount of consistency and continuity. And he kind of gave those things over to the enemy, thinking that the enemy might let up in his attack. But of course, the enemy never did. The enemy comes to him now, and he begins, after he's begun to benefit from Hezekiah's weakness, his fear, now he begins to take his fortified cities. He begins to come into Judah and to overrun all of his strengths until there is nothing left but Jerusalem. And all of Jerusalem is surrounded by this great and this mighty army. And the enemy begins to speak to Hezekiah. He sends his people to Hezekiah's people, and he begins to speak to him. And he begins to say, what is this that you are trusting in, seeing that you have rebelled against me? It's a picture of the enemy saying to someone who has come out of the background that we mentioned, has chosen to serve the Lord with all of his heart, has seen some times of difficulty, and to some degree was on some level or another intimidated by that level of difficulty, but now he has chosen to take a stand. You see, he realizes that there is no way to appease the enemy. He comes to a place where he recognizes, I cannot satisfy this enemy. No matter what I give him, the more I give him, the more he wants. And so he begins to take a stand. And when the enemy comes, he tells his people to cut off all of the water supply. He said, the devil is not getting anything else from me. And so the enemy begins to speak and says, what is this thing that you're trusting in? He first begins to accuse him of trusting in the world. He says, are you trusting in Egypt, that broken reed, that if a man tries to lean upon it, it will begin to pierce his hand? Because he wants to say to Hezekiah, I know you. I know the bottom line is when the going gets tough, you're going back to the world. I know that when I breathe hard enough down your neck, you're going to, you know, flip the television back on and you're going to have yourself a good old time again, because you're going to do anything and everything you can to, on some level or another, bring this, the intensity of the battle down as much as you can. He said, you're going to be leaning on Egypt in just a little while. He said, but that's not going to be able to help you. And even though the enemy lies a lot, every now and again, even some of his lies ring true, he says, Egypt can't help you. And then he goes on and he says, what are you going to lean on? He said, now I know that Hezekiah has broken down all of the idols in the community. And so what do you have left? In other words, what he's saying is that after you get through all of your religious trappings, you're going to find that there is no God behind it. He says, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the world, or are you trusting in some empty religion? He said, but wait a minute, you can't be trusting in the Lord. He said, because the Lord told me to come up against you. He said, God is mad at you and he has sent me to beat you up. You have to understand that the Lord, and we'll talk about that as time progresses, but every now and again, the Lord will use the enemy to strike out against those people who are in rebellion against him. But he's trying to categorize Hezekiah in that group. And he's saying, God is mad at you. That's why I'm hurting you. That's why I'm coming against you. That's why I'm standing in your at your door with all of my armies. And then he begins to taunt him. He begins to say, but hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 2,000 horses. In other words, you know, it's like, you know, you're playing a game of basketball and the game is 30. And he says, I'll spot you 28 if you think you can beat me. He said, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you have anybody that's still willing to ride them. If you have anybody that can ride these horses. In other words, he's saying, I know that you are on your last legs. I know you can't handle this anymore. He begins to taunt them. He begins to say to those people who are under Hezekiah's leadership, he says, now don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let this man lie to you. They begin to say, the people that are working with Hezekiah, they begin to say, now, hey, you can talk to us in Aramaic. We understand that language. He said, no, I'm going to speak in Hebrew because I want all of the people to understand it. And he begins to stand up and he begins to puff up his chest. And he says, because ultimately they are going to be eating and drinking their own waste along with you. He says they should understand and should know what kind of leadership is leading them and where this leadership has taken them. So he says to the people, don't trust in Hezekiah when he tries to tell you that the Lord is able to take care of you. And don't trust in Hezekiah when he tries to tell you that God is with you. He said, because there is nothing that Hezekiah or his God, nothing that they can do for you. He said, don't begin to put your trust in the Lord. He said, look around and see the kind of thing that I am and the kind of thing that I'm doing. And then he goes to another point and he says, but wait a minute. I don't mean to threaten you. I don't want to get you all scared. In fact, I'll tell you what. He said, if you just bring out a present to me, which is ultimately your heart and your soul, then I'll give you a nice land. It's just like the one that God gave you. It looks like the promised land. It tastes like the promised land. But the only problem is there is no promise to it. He said, you can have the oil and you can have the figs and you can have the this and you can have the that. There's just no promise there. It looks like something that God has done. It sounds like something that God has done. It tastes like something that God has done. But it ain't got nothing to do with God. But that's fine. You'll still have your comfort and your ease and your this and your that. He said, I'll take you to a land that's just like yours. He said, in essence, all I'm asking you to do is just stop fighting. All you have to do is stop fighting and I'll just give you a nice little plot of land and you can live out the rest of your days. But Hezekiah still holds out. And somebody comes with a loud voice and they say, don't let Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord. He said, look around and see what I have done with everybody who thought that they might stand up against me. And he begins to rattle off all of these countries, naming them one by one and naming their gods and saying, now, what happened with the God of this land? He wasn't able to stand up against me. And what happened to the God of that land? He wasn't able to stand. And what happened to this community and that community? It's the same as the enemy coming and maybe pointing out different religions and saying they thought that they had the truth and they didn't. And they thought they had the truth and they didn't. And they thought they had the truth. What makes you think you have the truth? Or he might point out people in the community and say, oh, this person tried to maintain some kind of morality and this person tried to live right and this person tried to do that. And look at them. They're all fallen, all by the wayside. What makes you think that you can stand? And I think, brother and sister, that at a certain point, the constant lies and the deception that was coming forth, I think at a certain point, you can see it just begins to build and something else begins to build up in heaven. Hezekiah. The Bible says that this man who at one time capitulated to that kind of deception, at a certain point, the Bible says that as these people began to speak, that Hezekiah said to his people, he said, don't answer them one word. In other words, what he said is, you know what? I am tired of being lied to. He said, I'm not going to try and argue this person down anymore. He said, I'm not going to try to appease this person anymore. I'm not going to try to match wits with the devil anymore. He said, I ain't talking to him anymore. He just said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He takes the scroll upon which all of these things were written because this devil had the audacity to put all of his lies in writing. And he takes this scroll. And he says to his friends, he says, now, I want you to go. He said, I'm going to go here. I want you to go there. He said, I want you to go to Isaiah. And I want you to say to Isaiah, this is a devastating time in the history of the righteous. This is a hard time, he said, a time of bitterness and reproach, a time of rebuke. And ultimately, he said, it is a time of blasphemy. You see, because what he discovered is this enemy in his lies and in his deception, he's not simply lying to me and about me. Ultimately speaking, this devil is lying about my God, and I will not have it 1 minute more. So he says, now you go and you tell Isaiah to get to praying and you get the people together and you get some people praying about this. And as for me, I'm going to go into the house of the Lord because this letter is not addressed to me, he said. And he said, it's not polite to read somebody else's mail. So I'm going to bring this with me to the house of God. And he brings it with him into the house of the Lord, every lie that's in it. The lies that says, well, why don't you just give up the battle and just, I'm not asking you to completely change your ways. I just say, do it without the promise. Or the lies that says, you're going to fall just like so-and-so and such-and-such and so-and-so and so-and-so. Just like I got every single one of them, I'm going to get you to. It might take me a little bit longer, but I'm going to get you to. And all the lies that were there. The lies that said, you don't have any more heart, you don't have any more fight, you don't have any more courage, you can't even put any riders on these horses, I'll spot you 28 points, you can't beat me. He said, all of these lies, he said, that ain't about me. See, because the Lord, he said, is my strength. It ain't about my strength, it ain't about what I'm able to do. He said, this ain't my mail, this is God's mail. So he did what any dutiful man would do, he brought God his mail. And he just spread that scroll out before God. He said, God, did you read this? Did you see what this man said? He said, because he said, I'm not fighting this fight. He said, I can't deal with this. I don't have any strength in myself. But that's his name. His name is Hezekiah. It means the Lord is my strength. He was simply living up to his name. Oh, he was a man, as I said, who saw some hard times. He saw what happened when his father Ahaz tried to do things in his own strength, and he was crushed under the weight of the enemy. He was probably, as I said, raised by a godly mother. In fact, this is one of the few times when the king's mother is mentioned when dealing with the genealogy. Her name was Avi. Strangely enough, it means my father. Can you imagine that introducing her? Hello, I'd like you to meet my mother, my father. You know what I mean? But anyways, I mean, to some degree, she had to be both a mother and a father to him because his father was gone. And he lived in such a place where he heard such good things coming from his mom. And he believed and he realized somewhere along the line that it is not about might or about power, but about the Spirit of the Lord. And so he takes this letter and he places it before the Lord. And as he's placing this letter before the Lord is already speaking to Isaiah, and a prophetic word comes to him. When I say a prophetic word, in this case, I mean a word that has the power to create. He see, Isaiah doesn't give him just a pep talk and good advice, but he begins to speak a word into his life. And he begins to say that you will not be overrun. You will not be overcome. You will not acquiesce to the way of the enemy. You will be victorious. And he begins to say to him, that the enemy says he's going to come in and he's going to overrun your life. But hear what the Lord said. He said that this enemy is not going to step one foot into your life. Your life is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And God is not subletting with any devils. He said the enemy is not going to step one foot into your situation. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to put my hook in his nose. And the same way by which he came, that same way is the way he's going to leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hezekiah begins to pray where he is. And he begins to say, God, it ain't about me. I know that. He said, this is a day of blasphemy. He said, they're not talking about me, about my capacity to fail or my capacity to, no. See, because it ain't about me. I don't have to keep myself. My God keeps me. And so if the devil threatens me with falling, he's threatening me with the idea that God can't keep me. But I read in my scripture, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I know that my God can keep me. And I refuse to hear the lie of the devil. It is not enough for the enemy to reproach me or to reproach you. If he tells me, hey, you're dirty in this area or dirty in that area, whether he's speaking a lie or speaking the truth, I know that I can go to my God and I can confess my sin to him. And that one who I speak to is just according to the scripture. He is holy. He is good. He is able to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But the enemy knows that, so he doesn't stop with that. He doesn't simply say, you're not doing right. He says, you're not doing right, and there ain't nothing God can do to help you. You're not doing right, and don't you think about going to God and confessing anything, because he's sick and tired of you. He don't want to hear no more confessing from you. You got 75 confessions in life and you done used them all up. He said, this ain't no lie about me. This is a lie about God. He's lying about the character of God. He's lying about the nature of God. He's lying about the keeping power of God. And I am not putting up with that one more moment. Who is this ungodly and uncircumcised Philistine to reproach the living God? So he takes that letter and he places it before the Lord. And he begins to pray and he begins to say, God, now I know that this person has taken victory over this community or that community, but that's because that community was in rebellion against you. That's because that community chose to hate you. He said, but oh God, He said, God, I just want it to be known that we're your servants, we're your people. God, it's your honor, it's your glory, it's your name, it's your fame that's at stake. God, would you glorify yourself in our community once again? Would you glorify yourself in my life once again? And the word of the Lord comes forth. And we hear God saying, now I want you to deliver a message. God speaks through Isaiah to Hezekiah. Tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says. He says, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, will laugh. And with regard to the enemy, she will laugh you to scorn. She will shake her head behind your back. The first thing he points out is this is the virgin. This is my pure child. He said, I don't care, Sennacherib, how you try to ravage or rape this daughter of mine. She is a virgin and will stay that way. She is pure. She is my daughter. And you will not put your hands on her. He said, the virgin, my daughter. I don't care how you try to convince her that she's an orphan, that she's got to fight this battle alone, that she's got to do this thing in her own strength. This is my daughter. This is the virgin. She walks in godly purity because she's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't care how you try to accuse her. She is my daughter. She is the virgin, my daughter. She is not impure and she is not an orphan. She does not have to walk in her own strength. And she is going to begin to laugh at your lies. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the second chapter, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing? And it goes on to say that the Lord will laugh and have them in derision. There comes a time when God begins to laugh through the Christian person. And those same lies that used to have us trembling in a corner, all of a sudden we hear God's laughter working through us, and somehow it begins to build up in us. And before you know it, we are laughing at the same things that used to make us tremble. We are saying to the enemy, no, you are no God. There is only one God, my God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. Hallelujah. And you remember Isaac's name means laughter. Every now and again, the Lord will cause us to laugh. The Bible calls him the strength of Isaac. The strength of laughter. The Lord is my strength. It's the Lord that causes me to laugh at the lies of my enemy. And he says to Sennacherib, haven't you read the book? He says, have you not heard? Have you not known that it is I, the Lord, who has done it? He said, now you might have been useful in my hands for a few years to punish some of my enemies, but don't you get your head all big. He said, every now and again, I might use you to punish the wicked, but don't you think you're somebody. He said, you ain't got no power here. He said, everything that has happened has been according to my plan, according to my sovereign will. I am the one who spoke to you and said this far and no farther. He said, at a certain point, the Lord will step in and he will say, let my people go. Let them alone. Let them alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he steps in. And he said, I tell you what, by the same way he came, That's the way he's going to go. It's not going to be hard for him. He ain't going to have to take out one of those big Rand McNally maps and so on and so forth. No, the same way he came, that's the way he's going to go, according to the word of the Lord. It's a strange thing that God says. You know, maybe the enemy finds a chink somewhere or something, and he tries to get in it, and maybe he comes in a point of weakness, but God said at some point, I'm going to be, by my own grace and by my own glory, I'm going to make that point of weakness a point of strength. And the enemy, the same one who thought he might destroy you by that thing, will ultimately be destroyed himself, because sometimes it's that thing that causes you and causes me to run into the presence of God and say, God, you are my strength. I cannot do anything in my own power. I need you every hour. Hallelujah. I need you today, oh God. I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your glory, Father. Stretch out your hands and bring me to a point of victory. Stretch out your hands and get glory in this. Sometimes we cry all the time, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. But sometimes God teaches us to cry, God, get glory out of this. Get glory out of this. Get glory out of this. Whatever you do, oh God, it's good and it's right. Let the Lord be glorious in the midst. And he says, I'm going to do it. And ultimately he said, I'm going to do it for David, my servant's sake. In other words, he's going to do it in Jesus' name. For the glory of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the heart of Jesus, because that Jesus has chosen to share his righteousness with us, to call us his brothers and his sisters, to love us, to intercede on our behalf every day, all day. He said, because of my son, because of who my son is in you. Because of what my son has done for you. In other words, I am protecting the worthiness of the Savior when I pull you out of any kind of temptation. I'm protecting the glory of my son when I walk you through any kind of test. Whenever God takes a victory over the devil in our life, he is doing it for the honor and for the glory of God in Christ. Yes, he does it because he loves us, but he does it mainly and primarily because the love with which he loves us is, in a word, Jesus. He does it because he loves us in Jesus' name. He does it because he loves us for Jesus' sake. He does it because he loves us through Jesus' sacrifice, through the work of that holy Savior. He says, it's my name, ultimately. See, Hezekiah understood that. His name was, the Lord is my strength. He understood, God, this is more than the enemy lying against me. This is more than the enemy trying to hurt me. This is the enemy trying to rob you of your glory. This is the enemy trying to mar the image of God. This is the enemy trying to ridicule the redemption of God in Jesus Christ. This is the enemy trying to say that your God is no different than all of the other gods that I've overcome. But no, no, no. He said, now, let me tell you who you're coming up against. He said, you're coming up against the holy God. You're coming up against the only God. You're coming up against the God that is different than anything that you have ever encountered in your life. You ain't never meet nobody like me before. And when the enemy comes up against the holy God, he's made to understand pretty quickly, this one is different. Huh? He ain't like the gods of this community or that community. I ain't never meet nobody like that before. Oh, the enemy has no problem fighting with you and with me because he meets us every day, but there's only one God. Hallelujah. And when he fights against that God working in us, that God living in us, that God manifesting himself in us, he has to say, I ain't never meet nobody like that before. This God is God. Now, my brothers and my sisters, hallelujah. Is somebody in this auditorium who is saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been seeking God with all my might, and the enemy seems to have come against me with more of an attack than I have ever felt in my life. But he didn't just come with the attack. He came with a proposition that says, if you will just lighten up a bit, if you will just turn it down a taste, I'll just let you alone. And you can relax in all the trappings of a promise. Just don't try to apprehend that promise. See, because if you try to apprehend that promise, then you have a problem with me. And at first, we try to handle this in our own strength. But now we're saying, God, I can't do it. Sometimes we have to be honest and say, God, it's a fearful thing when the enemy comes up against me. But then we say, but he's really not coming up against me, is he? He's trying to fight with the holy and the righteous and the good God who will never leave me nor forsake me. Somebody in this room is saying, I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of reading God's mail. I'm going to take this scroll and I'm simply going to present it before the Lord. Somebody in this room who's saying, I am tired of being lied to. You know what the big lie is? The big lie is whatever you do, you have to do in your own strength. And the truth is, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Somebody in this room is tired of being lied to. And you say, I want to come and I want to pray right now. Because I don't want to capitulate to the lie of the devil anymore. I'm tired of trying to appease him. Tired of trying to argue with him. Tired of trying to psychologically work it out. Why am I doing this and why am I doing that and what's going on? This? Now you're ready to say, God, this is your battle. Would you fight this battle in me and through me until your name be glorified for David's sake? In Jesus' name, God, would you fight this battle? Would you stand with me, please, my dearly beloved? And we're going to pray together. If what I've said has touched your heart, you're tired of being lied to, you're ready to spread the scroll before the Lord because you're saying, I am not turning back. I'm not giving up. I will no longer capitulate. I'm going to go forward, but not in my own strength. You're ready to say tonight, the Lord is my strength. If that's you, would you begin to come to the front of this auditorium? We're going to pray together. We're going to believe God. Wherever you are in this building, make your way to the front. We're going to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a turning point in this life that we talked about today. At a certain point, he decided that when the enemy came up against him, that he was going to cut off his water supply. In other words, he said, no more of who I am and what I am is going to be poured out to the enemy. I'm not going to feed him anymore. I'm not going to give him anything to work with. He said, why should the kings of Assyria come and find water? When Jesus allowed himself to be pierced, when the blood flowed and when the water flowed from his side, he did that so that we might be in a place where no more of our blood would have to flow and certainly no more of our water would have to flow, so that it feeds the enemy and causes him to believe that he still has a place in our life. He doesn't have any place in our life anymore. Hallelujah. And if God is moving on your heart and you're saying, I am not giving up. I am not letting go. It's no longer about me. It's not about my strength. I simply want to love him and trust him. Then would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I love you. I put all of my trust and all of my hope in you. You are my strength. In you I will trust. When the enemy comes, like a flood, would you cause me to cut off his water supply and to say to him, your battle is not with me. Your battle is with the Lord. Help me to run to you, O Jesus, and say to you, it is not about my strength. It is not about my might. It is about your power. And that I can do all things as you strengthen me. And I believe you to be my strength. Now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply put our trust in you. We say tonight we are tired of being lied to. We refuse to give the enemy any more water. We cut off his water supply tonight. We refuse to provide for him anything to work with in our lives. We say, why should the kings of Assyria find any water when they come to us? Father, in Jesus' name, we say, God, would you help us to take a victory that will bring glory to your name? Tonight, in Jesus' name, we say, we are tired of being lied to. We refuse anymore to hear the lies of the enemy. We will no longer try to appease the enemy. We will no longer try to argue the enemy down. Instead, we simply say, oh God, we put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. God, we put all of our faith in you in Jesus' name. God, we lay the scroll before you now. We say, God, this is not addressed to me. This is addressed to you. God, the enemy has tried to convince me that you can't keep me. But I know that my God is able to keep me. And I know that my God has everything under control. Father, I trust you tonight. I trust you tonight. Hallelujah. I trust you for a great and a mighty victory. I trust that your name will be glorious. For David's sake, for the name of your holy servant Jesus, for the glory of God in Christ, we believe it, we thank you for it, and we love you, God, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. The Lord Jesus bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.